Hi, listeners. Welcome to the She Speaks Life podcast, a weekly encouragement where we share our God stories. I'm your host, Jamie Elizabeth, and I am so glad you are spending time with us today to listen. Hey there, so glad you are listening today. I have with me Lane Amon. She is a podcaster, author, speaker, writer, and has a huge heart to encourage others with God's truth. Lane will be talking about the difference between happiness and joy and how we can obtain joy in the hard times. Lane, thank you for coming on here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to talk about my favorite topic. So God and joy, you got it right there. I love it.
I know, right? Okay, so I love that we have mutual friends. We have Erica Wiggenhorn that was on here and Allie Gentry. And so I kind of met you through those women on Instagram. And then I started listening to your podcast, and it's called A More Beautiful Question. And I love that you just present all these things, I guess, topics that we have questions on, and you present it in such a great biblical way that is applicable and digestible that we can understand. So I appreciate that, and I enjoy listening to it on my walks around the lake down here in Austin. And I know you're from Arizona, but before we go into talking about your story, I'd love for the people just to hear more about you and, you know, what you do and what you're up to.
Sure. Thank you. So I now live in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm originally from California. We moved here about 8 years ago, and we absolutely love Arizona. We just love it. And my husband and I have been married coming on 27 years, and we have three kids together. My oldest is out of college working in Seattle. My middle child is at TCU and Texas Christian, and my youngest is in high school. So I'm still very active in their lives. Thankfully, I was a little worried when we started going down the empty nest path that I would be lonely, but no, I think I hear from them now more than I did when they were in high school.
Oh my gosh, so I gotta just pipe in real quick because that is so true. I was like bawling my eyes out when my son went to college, and then he's been back like all the time, calling, texting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I'm like, wow, yeah. We are like closer than ever.
I love it. I love it. It's great. I really enjoy that. And I do a lot of things. Like, I'm one of those people who, I guess the cool word is to say I'm multi-passionate. I just say I'm a little bit scattered.
Yes. No, you wear many hats. I was on your website and I'm going, oh my gosh, this girl does it all. So yes, I want the listeners to hear everything you do.
Yeah. So my day job, you could say, is I'm a marketing communications consultant, and I work with entrepreneurs and brands, everybody from like Tony Robbins to New York Times bestselling authors, and to smaller startup businesses and entrepreneurs as well, to help them refine their messaging and get that out to the public in a way that's ethical, first and foremost, but also in a way that they can help more people and eventually make more money, because that's why they're in business. I really like working with people who are driven by the desire to help improve the world. So that's my day job. And that might include anything from website copy to email campaigns to ghostwriting books. It's kind of a huge gamut of tasks that I do with them. And then I've also become more active in the political realm recently. My background is actually, my undergrad and graduate degrees are in public policy, public administration, and I worked in government and then totally burned out on it. But then kind of in the last election cycle, I was like, okay, I've got some skills here. When you pull the messaging and marketing together with my degrees in policy, that's really needed to help get the word out about constitutional conservative candidates. So I've been working in that area recently. And then my podcast and books, which is my God passion, where I've just got just this desire to help people find the joy in the struggle and find the joy even in the everyday life and not take it for granted when we do have good days, but also during the bad days or the boring days or the mundane days, also to really learn to appreciate and seek joy in those moments as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on, lots of fun, never a dull moment. I tell my family I've got two speeds. It's either 100 miles an hour or I'm taking a nap. There's no in between. So
no in between. Oh, that's so great. Gosh, I wish I was more like that. I'm like, I get overwhelmed easily. I got to go one thing at a time. I'm not your typical multitasker woman, you know, like you know, doing everything at once. I have to do one thing at a time. But if anything, my husband's more of the multitasker. So
it blends well. My husband's much more like you. He can put his blinders on and focus on one thing and one thing only. And my mind's going off in 10 different directions. And so I think both are very necessary and appreciated. So
yes. And we usually marry our opposites, right? So
absolutely.
At least they say in some degree. Okay. Well, I would love for you to just bring us into, I know most people when they have something they want to share, it's because they went through something on their own end, like some kind of struggle in that area. So I'd love to hear your own personal story of joy. And was it something hard for you? Was there an incident there that really maybe brought you down to where you really needed to experience that supernatural gift of joy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if we go back to 2019, the fall of 2019. So this is pre-COVID, which seems like a lifetime ago because it seems like everything shifted in 2020. But coming into the fall of 2019, it felt like our family was just under attack in so many different realms. Financially, my husband found out he'd be leaving his job after working for the same company forever. He had literally started working when he graduated from business school and had never changed. He never had to actually go into the job market and look for a job. So that was going on. One of our kids was facing some health issues and we weren't sure how severe they would be or what that path would look like. A close friend of mine from childhood, who I'd still been friends with, had passed away. And this is all like in the matter of a month. And then I lost one of my big clients and it was just thing after thing. And every day I'd wake up and think, okay, what horrible thing is going to happen again today? And, so at that point I'd had hard times before, but this was one of those times where it felt like every front and every day brought new news that was unwelcome. And, it was just heartbreaking and it was hard to breathe because I was trying to hold it all together for my family, hold it all together for my clients and just really keep operating when I'd wake up in the morning and it would feel like there was a boulder on my chest. Like I'd have that split second where I'd forget that everything bad was happening. And then all of a sudden I'd remember and then I'd be like, you know, and so it was a huge struggle and I didn't doubt my faith in that. But it just felt like I was carrying a very, very heavy load. And I was, and so was the rest of my family. So during that time, that was like October, November. And in December, a girlfriend of mine invited me to a women's event at her church. And it was a church I hadn't been to before and went to this Christmas women's event. And after it was over, the worship team invited us up to receive prayer. And I said, I can use all the prayers I can get. Yeah. So I went up and told the woman briefly what was going on in my life. And she started praying over me. And then she prayed together. We prayed together for a while. And then she stopped and she looked at me and she said, "You're going to make it through this. You will make it through this. But the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. What are you going to let him steal from you? Are you going to let him steal your joy?" And that was this huge wake up moment for me, both the affirmation that I knew I'd make it through because I did know that I had very strong foundation in God. But I didn't, I mean, there was no joy in my life, zero, zilch. So hearing her say this, and I'm a fighter. So when she said this to me, it was like, gosh, I do have a choice. I do have a choice. I don't have to sit here and be a victim. I can make meaning out of this. I can find my joy in this. And so I had that split second realization, but then I was like, okay, you know, and the next day I wake up and I'm like, I'm still dealing with the financial issues and the health issues and all this other stuff. So what does that mean? What is joy? Where does it come from? How do I cultivate that? How do I quote unquote make joy? Can I make joy? So I really started down this path of investigating for myself, like how do I remain joyful in times of affliction and struggle? And of course, turned to the Bible, did a lot of studying about what God says about joy, and just really started sharing what I was learning on my podcast and also developing practices over the day to help function in those really tough times. And then sharing those with people. And it really resonated because as we come into 2020, what happens? But the entire world is afflicted. We're all facing fear. We're losing family members. We're losing, you know, for health reasons, but also there's great division between family members because of how people are responding to what's going on. Many people are losing their livelihoods. And again, I was like, okay, God's teaching me this for a reason and I need to share this. So that's really what I started doing is sharing with people what I was learning about joy. And one of the big things that I was realizing for people of faith is that, yes, the world is a dark place. It's always been a dark place. Sometimes it seems darker than others. But when it is that dark, those of us who can stand up and shine our light, no matter how big or small, become beacons of hope to others. And yes, it's dark. And yes, there's suffering right now. And it is our time. There is no better time in my lifetime for people of faith to stand up and say, we have a different way. We have another option. We have this joy despite the fear, or actually instead of the fear, we reject fear and we're going to choose our faith over the fear. So it really was a very timely lesson that I was learning and then able to share with everybody I can. So that's why I appreciate you inviting me on, because I could share this message even further.
I know. I mean, this is why I do this, because we do need to hear about the hope, you know, that we have in Christ, because we live in such a world that is saying opposite, you know, because things are so dark and heavy. And, you know, and that's where we're looking at our circumstances rather than looking at God. And we're having our circumstances dictate our mood and our attitude. And instead, we need to focus on the Lord and what God says in his truth, in his word, and that will produce the joy, right? And because it's not about what's going on around us, because that stuff will always change.
Right.
And God's word, it stands true and it's steadfast. So, so I can totally understand the struggle with the financial hardship. That is definitely something that hits home. It was a struggle with my husband and I, and he's an entrepreneur. So if you can imagine, it's like the highs and the lows and all in between. And so that was one of the reasons that brought us out here in Austin in 2008, because we were part of that economy collapse back then. And we really lost everything and job. And so anyway, that's for another podcast there, because that whole thing really brought me closer to the Lord and really found my personal relationship with him through that. So I know there's lessons that we can learn through those hard times. So kind of take us into what did that look like every day to actually seek out that joy. I know reading God's word is one, but do you have anything in particular that helped you just stay focused and not look at all the bad stuff around you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I noticed for myself was that I felt like my whole world was out of control. I couldn't control my friend passing away. I couldn't control my husband's job situation, the finances, find a buyer for a house, protect my kids. I couldn't control any of these things. And that made me feel so scared and so helpless. And so I said, okay, what can I control? Because I'm all about the questions. So as you know from my podcast, So what can I control? And so I started looking at what I could control. And if it's too much to start thinking about, so let me start with that. So I could control my thoughts. We're told in the Bible to take every thought captive. So I started diving into that. How do I do that? How do I replace the fear with God's word? And I memorized a ton of scripture. And a lot of people say, I can't memorize scripture, blah, blah, blah. You can just stay on one verse until you know it. And it's just a habit. It's like reading it every day. It's not quantity over quality either. You could pick one verse. And if you pick one verse, his word is so powerful that is enough. You don't need to memorize the whole Bible. So when I would start spinning out in my thoughts, I would just immediately start reciting Bible verses. And it didn't even matter if it was a verse that was necessarily applicable to what was going on. It was more like just running through my verses that I'd memorized. And I would say that. And you can't have two thoughts in your brain at one time. So as soon as I would start that, it would just stop the cycle of this spiraling. So that was one huge thing, not just reading the Bible, but actually memorizing. And then using that as a tool, as a weapon against the negative thoughts. And then we can control our words. And so I became resolved that I was not going to let what was happening to me turn me into a bitter and negative person who is being more critical of others, being impatient, being sharp-tongued. And that has always been a struggle for me. I'm super sarcastic. Like, I'm somebody who like has a very sharp tongue in a funny way. And I've had to work to tame that because yes, it's funny, but it's not godly. And so I've really had to rein that in over the past, I would say 5 years. That's been a huge concentration of mine. So I was like, okay, yes, people would understand if I'm short and rude or sarcastic because I'm struggling so much. But everybody's got stuff going on. So why do I get a pass? I'm not gonna contribute to the overall suffering in the world because of my words. I can control that. So I really reined that in and made an extra effort to be pleasant and kind, and just the random acts of kindness, letting the person go in front of me and in the shopping line or whatever it might be, dumb little things like that. But it shifted my perspective from I'm a victim, I'm being punished, people should feel sorry for me, to no, I'm not going to let this, because what the enemy wants is for him to attack us, and then we go attack others and we do his work for him. It's like, I'm not going to be a soldier in his army. I'm in God's army. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? It's going to stop with me. And then controlling our actions too. So thoughts, words, and actions, and same kind of thing, just really showing up and what can I control? I can love the people around me. I can't control COVID. I can't control all these other things, but I can control loving the people who God puts right in front of me. So again, made a really concerted effort to show up for people. So if I was in line at the grocery store, I would ask the clerk, hey, how's your day going? I mean, again, just small things like that. But again, being a force for good in any way I could, instead of allowing my struggles to shut me down, make me more isolated, make me bitter, make me angry. It's like, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. I'm going to fight back. And that's where I got this phrase in my brain. I'm like, gosh, being joyful these days is like an act of rebellion. The world wants us scared, separated, isolated, angry, resentful, depressed. Mm-hmm. And if we stand up and we're actually happy, and happy, as we mentioned, is different from being joyful. But if we are happy, if we are joyful, if we are positive, it's an act of rebellion. So I said, I'm a joy rebel. That's like my tagline. I'm a joy rebel. I'm going to rebel against these forces of darkness. Mm-hmm. And I'm like in Star Wars, like I'm the rebel army or whatever. And so then it became like I don't want to say a fun thing, because I was still in the middle of all this. I was still like really, really struggling, but it gave me a purpose that was bigger than myself. And it let me control things when my world felt like it was out of control.
I love that. And especially you were looking at something bigger than what was going on with your own circumstances, and how true that is with our words being spoken. I find myself, you know, having to stop what I'm saying, you know, because it's not edifying. And, you know, and I think it takes intentionality there, where you're like, oh, you know, what I'm speaking out matters, you know, even when I'm complaining or whatever, it's, you know, got to change that script and make it so that it's, you know, even if you're not seeing it yet, but actually speak in faith and speak life, and, you know, the power is in the tongue. It can, you know, destroy or give life, right? Or death. So I love that. And also, I think, you know, with going through the struggles with joy, I guess this question came to mind. did it stop you from doing your podcasting or what you were passionate about, like your God assignments? I know you did things intentionally, put in action to, you made a choice not to, you know, shrink back. But sometimes we go through that period of time where you're just like not feeling it. And I know one of your podcasts, I think you have a couple of them, but one of them, you're speaking biblical truth. So was that hard for you to go on there? And did you take a break? And
right. Actually, my podcast started after this. So after the worst of this. So yeah. I do think it can be hard to teach from a place of pain. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. I think I personally, and I know everybody has different approaches to this, but depending on what you feel like your God assignment is, it could be to walk along other people who are hurting, or it could be speaking from a place of, hey, I got through this and you will too. Or, I personally don't always share the pain when I'm going through it with a larger audience, because I want to take meaning and lessons from that. And I don't always know what God's doing yet. So I think that's something you have to really be in touch with the Lord about and see what He wants you to do. And it wasn't like, I was hiding it from people around me. Like my close friends definitely knew what was going on with me. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't standing up proclaiming like, oh, life is great, when inside I'm like crying, you know? So, so I think that can be really hard, but again, that's a God question. Because there are people who speak from that place, and do it really effectively and let people see what's going on in the moment. That wasn't my experience this time, but I could see that might be really helpful for other people.
Yeah. I love that you said that's a God question, because I've pondered that same thing of, gosh, should I be talking about this, or should I be waiting until what you're saying? I don't know quite what God's doing with this and what the lesson here is, but I know eventually He's going to reveal it to me. So I'm like you. I wait until I'm kind of on the other side to where I'm able to speak in hindsight and, you know, give off some of those biblical principles, those lessons that I learned along the way.
I also think when other people are involved, it gets a little touchy, because sometimes I feel like things aren't my story to tell. I am like involved, obviously, because it's my family or my friends or whatever.
Right.
But I'm not the primary person who's dealing with this thing. I think, for instance, like if somebody close to you has an illness or something like that, I'm very careful about sharing any details about that, because they may not want that to be shared. And who am I to show up and say, oh, this has been so hard, my best friend has breast cancer or whatever, when they may not want that out there, or that's going to impact them. So I'm really careful about that too. Realizing that it's not just me, and I've made mistakes in the past where I've shared stuff with my kids. As they get older, and they're like, I don't want you talking about that. And I totally respect that now. So now before I post anything, I always, check in with them about those details. They're safe subjects where, and I'll say it, like my daughter dressed up the other day for a spirit rally, and she's like, well, share this photo, don't share this one, or whatever it is. Yeah. And I was like, well, am I allowed to share it? That kind of thing. So, yeah. So that's a big thing I've seen people do, where they step over a boundary for somebody else's story too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I recently just did a solo podcast of myself of what I went through, and I had to make sure, hey, I can't go into full detail, because it's not just about me. It has to do with other people. So to respect their privacy, I can't go into detail, but basically it just sent me on a spiral down, you know, and I had to work through some things. So, but I knew it was definitely something God was encouraging me to share about. And so out of obedience, I spoke about it. So I am super excited to talk about this topic, joy, and how it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it's supernatural. And I know that in my own life, it definitely exude that. Like, it definitely was something that others could see when I was going through that financial hardship. Mm-hmm. So how about you? Like, what is that expression that we can do as believers? Because I know, you know, not to get into anything political or anything, but I know there's a lot of divisiveness within the body of the church. And I know that that can sometimes rob us of joy, just us being believers and having right. different sides of things. So how do you maybe give us an example of maybe how can we be that Christian believer that can express joy as a believer, even though we see all this division going on?
Right, right. That's such a good question. And I think division often comes when we're focused on ourselves instead of the other person in that moment. And I have very strong political beliefs, religious beliefs, opinions about just about everything. I have very strong opinions. My family will tell you. But can't go into things trying to convince other people. I think we as believers have to offer a better alternative. And I just heard the results of some survey. They do a yearly, some university does a yearly survey on Americans' happiness. And we right now are the least happy we have ever been in our entire, since they started running this report. And I'll get you the link. But it was like, you know, we've dropped like 20% over the last year or two in happiness and overall happiness. And again, joy is not happiness, but happiness is still something that they're measuring. They're not measuring joy. But I think if we as Christians are running around being miserable and angry and afraid and all these things, we're not providing a better opportunity or option for people. So how we show up is really important, and how we treat other people, especially when we disagree. And that is something like I had to get off Twitter completely. Like, I had to cancel my account because I would go in and add comment number 732 on some post that isn't edifying, isn't making a difference. It's just wasting air. I was embarrassing myself and I was embarrassing Christ. I was like, this isn't, I am embarrassed. I knew it. And I couldn't control myself. So I just deleted my account. And that's, I knew it was a place that I could not, you know, alcoholics can't go into bars because it's an addiction. I had this addiction to making sure everybody knew what my opinion was and how clever I was. It was just ridiculous because it's not making anything better.
Yeah. Which kind of robs your joy, right? Yeah,
totally. Totally. And I'm not making anybody else joyful. Have you ever changed your opinion because of some comment you saw on Twitter? It just doesn't happen. Right. So relationship has to come first. How we show up really matters. If we're angry, and I mean, there's times to get angry, there's righteous anger, you know, about the right to life and things like that. We should be angry. We should be angry about certain things. And they're going to be different for everybody, what you're called to be angry about by God. I've got a long list, it seems like, but I have to check myself on that. I'm like, really? but in general, we're called to love each other. That's the primary thing, not to be angry. So everything we do has to come from that place of love. And so, for instance, like just a silly example, like there's a local coffee shop I go to all the time, every morning, and I've taken that as my mission ground. Like, I love those baristas, and they're all these 20-somethings. I don't know what their political leanings are. I don't know what their gender orientation is. I don't know what their faith base is, but I just go in. I'm like, I'm shining on them. And how are you guys doing today? And when it gets cold, I take the person who works in the window, I take them little hand warmers to put in their pocket. I mean, it's just loving on them because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to convince them of anything. I'm supposed to show up and love them. And then if they say, you know what, you always seem so happy, or you always seem so grateful, or you are, then I have an opportunity to speak into their lives and say, yeah, you know what? Something that really helps me is memorizing Bible verses. So when I start getting stressed, but I can't say that until I have a relationship with them. And I'm not going to have a relationship until they know I care about them. So that's kind of where I think it all starts.
I love
that. I'm not perfect at this. Not perfect at this by far.
No, but it's an example to show kindness, you know, be intentional with it. Look and see who's around you. Who can you serve there in that moment? And be generous and have that relationship, and then share about the gift of joy. And and that's where it all starts, is just loving on people and not casting judgment, and because that gets us nowhere. And I think sometimes us believers, we forget about that, you know, that it's love your neighbor as yourself, yep. right? That's yep. like yep. one of the commandments. So, so good. All right. So I love at the end of each episode for you to share a takeaway and just speak life to us while we close out.
Oh gosh, so many things I could say. I think the big one is that we have a choice. We have a choice. We don't get to choose what happens to us. And this, millions of people have said this. I'm not the first to say it, but we have a choice how we respond to it. Mm-hmm. And when we start like keeping score or saying, well, they've got it easier, they've got it tougher, da, 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 it doesn't, none of that matters. What matters is what's on my plate today and how I'm going to handle it. Mm-hmm. And I have to keep going back to God for that every minute of the day. And that was another thing I learned, is that don't try to take a week at once. Don't try to take a year at once. Like, what am I going to do in this minute? How am I going to show up right now? And it's the whole practice, like mindfulness is so, you know, like common to hear about in the secular world, but it's really biblically based. Like, let the day's own troubles be sufficient for the day. Mm-hmm. Love the person who's in front of you. And just deal with what's right in front of you, and let God handle the rest of it, because it's too big for us. So just do what we can in this minute to show his love to people. And I think that would solve so many anxieties and worries and problems. So that's my takeaway.
So good. I love it. Okay, where can people find you? I know you wrote several books and you're just all over articles and everything. So I know they can find it on your website. Go ahead and just let us know where we can contact you.
Yeah. So social media wise, I'm really only on Instagram right now. You heard my Twitter story. Yeah. Not on Twitter. Don't look for me there. If you see me there, please call me out, because I'm not supposed to be there. Gotten off of Facebook as well. So Instagram is at Lane Amann, LAIN.EHMANN. And my website is, the easiest one is fastlane.com, FASTLAIN.com. And I actually have a book coming out sometime this spring. There's a paper shortage right now, so that's holding up everything, but it's taking a lot of these principles and showing how we can do this just in a few minutes at a time. And it's called Start Small, Tiny Shifts to Boost Your Relationships, Simplify Your Day, and Live a Happier Life. That will be out hopefully like March, April-ish, but I'll make sure to let you know and send you a copy and everything so you can check it out. But that is coming. I'm super excited about that. So yeah, so lots of good stuff happening.
Yeah, so cool. I don't know how you find all that time to be writing and all the stuff that you have going on. But like you said, you're either in the fast lane and hey, that's your email.
Yep. Or it's the nap lane. In fact, I have my dogs trained. I have two very small dogs. And when I say team meeting, they go and jump on the bed and we take a nap. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
It is so, so funny. They get so excited. They're like, and they go leaping in there. So yep. I'm a nap a day kind of gal. And yeah, it's one or the other, never in between. So thank you so much for inviting me on. This was so fun.
Yes, it was. Thank you for coming on your lane. Thank you so much for listening today. I trust that God has encouraged you through this message. For more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com and sign up. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Jamie Elizabeth She Speaks Life. That's J-A-Y-M-E Elizabeth, She Speaks Life. Until next time, my friends, I pray God reveals himself through your own life story.